Welcome to Principal Center Radio, bringing you the best in professional practice. Here's your host, director of the Principal Center and champion of high-performance instructional leadership, Justin Bader.
Welcome, everyone, to Principal Center Radio. I'm your host, Justin Bader, and I'm honored to be joined today by my friend Daniel Bauer of Better Leaders, Better Schools.
And now, our feature presentation.
Daniel, welcome to Principal Center Radio.
Thanks for having me, Justin. Excited to be here today.
So, Daniel, I've been following along for a while with your writing at betterleadersbetterschools.com and have been impressed by the contributions that you're making to our profession. Could you start by telling us a little bit about Better Leaders, Better Schools and what you do there?
So the idea behind Better Leaders, Better Schools, I help school leaders create a winning culture, focus on the essential, and lead with courage and integrity. And I guess the idea behind the website, the podcast, that's also going to be available on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, is just really, what does it mean to be a leader within our schools? And I think you're a great guy that really talks about efficiency, productivity, strategy within the schools. And something that I'm focused on is really that emotional piece, the reflective piece, looking at who we are as individuals and how to maximize our potential as leaders. That's really the idea behind the website and the blog.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that idea of culture and of kind of emotional health and integrity. And where does some of those ideas relate to kind of your personal journey of becoming a school administrator?
Yeah, you know, I think that all connects to just a lot of the work I've done, as you said, on my own personally, which is how professionally. I think one of the key takeaways I've learned over the years is you can't control other people. You can't control their responses. And at the end of the day, the only thing you truly can control is yourself and how you respond to different situations. So seeing my own emotional growth, personal growth, professional growth by applying some of those principles to my own life, I saw that also catapult, I guess, my impact as a school leader, and just wanted to really sit there and then share what I've learned with others and see if they'd be interested, you know, in forming relationships and engaging in that work together.
Well, Daniel, I think that level of self-understanding that you're talking about is essential for anyone in a leadership position, but especially in an organizational context where people are looking to us not only to make decisions, but also to kind of set the pace and set the tone and set an example. What do you think is the relationship between who we are as individuals, as leaders, and the kind of culture that we create? What have you seen on your journey that has informed your leadership?
Yeah, I think what I've seen, experienced, and what I've read, it all starts with the leader. And recently I attended this conference called the Global Leadership Summit. It's a world-class gathering of just, you know, the best leaders and minds around this topic, and they, you know, share their own insights into leadership. But the guy who coordinates it, Bill Hybels, he has this saying that everybody wins when a leader gets better. And, you know, different things that I've read, you know, Jim Collins and Good to Great and those level five leaders, everything out there and experiences taught me it all starts at the top. And so the type of culture you want, whether it's a very collaborative culture, you need to model that as a leader. If it's one of those cultures where you want people to be able to innovate and not fear making mistakes, as a leader, are you someone that shares, here are some of the mistakes I've made, here's what I've learned from those mistakes, or reach out to people for help? I love the anecdote that I've heard about Southwest. And if you've ever been on a Southwest flight, they're pretty fun airlines, right, to be on.
Yeah.
And I know just even when they take off, I've had them throw me snacks down the aisle, you know, just by using gravity there. And it's just fun. They come up with stories, just have a blast. But long story short, when they interview potential pilots, the guys will come in with their corporate look, you know, looking the whole part, full suit and all that. And a lot of times they'll ask these very accomplished and distinguished pilots, okay, lose the suit, put on these Bermuda shorts, keep the tie on though, and continue through the interview. And some people will actually select themselves and exit out of the interview because they just think that's absolutely ridiculous. But it all goes back to the type of culture you want. Southwest wants that really fun and energetic culture, and so they build that in through their interviewing process. Even I remember reading about their CEO when some person was so distraught about how they talked about maybe the emergency landing strategy that they have for the people. And the CEO just wrote, "Sorry, we'll miss you." You know, unapologetic about we value fun. And so it all starts with the leader. You got to emulate what you want in your culture.
So let's talk about that conference and some of your takeaways from that. So you put together a summary kind of your notes and your lessons learned from that conference?
Yeah, absolutely. If you go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/report, you'll get to a landing page that it kind of explains the Global Leadership Summit, what it is, and then have an opportunity to invest in that report if that's something that, you know, you'd be interested in. But, I've been there at that conference for the last 6 years, I think, and it's absolutely the best leadership investment that I make in myself every single summer. Absolutely actually schedule my summer plans around this conference. And they just have the most incredible people. This year, in addition to Bill Hybels, who spoke and founded this conference, you had Ed Catmull, who helped found Pixar. And he was talking about creativity and how to give feedback. Jim Collins was there, and he was talking about the 7 questions beyond good to great and some of the principles about leadership he learned while his appointment at West Point. Brené Brown, if you're familiar with her work around shame and vulnerability, she was there just expounding on that topic again, and that was her second time at the conference. There was somebody who took me by surprise, this guy, Horst Schulze. He's a German guy, and he helped run the Ritz-Carlton hotel group and is now with a new hotel group. But he was just talking about the importance of customer service and how you establish a service-oriented culture. And it blew my mind of everything we could do at my school. And I was thinking, wow, you know, there's so much opportunity here. I don't know that schools are a great place to visit where you feel so welcomed and valuable when you're a parent or a community member. And man, all the leadership takeaways I took from there, I'm going to be ruminating on those for quite a while, letting them, you know, percolate in my mind, and really excited to apply those principles.
Well, and I think that idea of applying leadership lessons from wherever they come from, whether that's from Southwest Airlines or from Jim Collins, someone who's, you know, more of a traditional recognized authority on leadership. I think that's one of the things that really stands out about your writing and your site is that you're looking really all over the world across every different industry for places we can gain insights for leadership. And I think if we only look within our own profession, you know, that kind of limits how much we're going to be able to innovate, how much we're going to be able to adapt to new territory. And one thing that stands out as I look through your website, tell us about the Chicago Marathon and your kind of leadership lessons from that.
Yeah, the marathon has really been a crazy and incredible experience. It's not something I ever really wanted to participate in, but every single year at my church, actually, they form a marathon team. They're connected to a nonprofit called Team World Vision, and the whole idea is let's get folks that typically don't run a marathon, let's have them accomplish that magnificent goal, and that's cool just on a personal level. But then not only accomplishing that physical goal, let's also make a huge impact on global poverty. And so Team World Vision has this incredible technology that just for $50, you could provide a lifetime supply of clean water to a kid that lacks access to clean water in Africa. Wow. And so I always said no. I don't like to run. This wasn't something I wanted to do. But I felt this gentle nudge. You need to run the marathon, and you need to run it with your high school kids. So I asked the coordinators, hey, what's the deal with that? And they let me know that you just need to be 16 to run the marathon. So I went around, told every kid at my high school, hey, have you ever saved somebody's life? And do you need service learning hours to graduate? And so most kids haven't saved a life, and most of them need that service learning to graduate. And so I was able to convince them to run the Chicago Marathon with me. They didn't know what they were getting into right away, but we're in the third year of it. And after 2 years, we've had, 86 kids, I want to say, run the marathon.
Oh, wow.
with 76 crossing the finish line. So over 80%, completion rate. We've raised just over $25,000 for clean water. And it's just been an incredible experience.
Wow. Well, you have some lessons in your article around this, and one of them is around this idea of digging deep and of kind of leaders going first. But dig deep stands out to me as a phrase that I hear in my Insanity workout DVDs. That you've got to dig deep.
Dig deep.
If you're going to get through this workout that, is pretty punishing. And I will say I have never run a marathon and honestly cannot imagine what it is like to run more than 26 miles. But I have felt that, that sense of exhaustion and, we're not there yet. And it's going to be better when I'm done with this. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be in better shape. And I'm going to mentally have accomplished something that, I didn't know if I could when I started out. I'm doing what's supposedly the hardest workout out there that you can kind of do, within spitting distance of your couch. And I imagine that you've taken students through a similar experience of really pushing themselves to go that distance and to accomplish something that most young people don't. What's that been like as a leader, and what's that been like for your students?
You absolutely want to quit almost every run over 6 or 8 miles. That's when it starts to get pretty tough. A half a marathon, 13 miles, you could complete, get that done. But after that, you're really hitting this thing that we call the wall.
Yeah.
You might cry, but just mentally, it's like physically you can do it, but mentally you don't know if you want to do it. And so just being able to go through that process myself and with my students, it's just taught me that, I really can accomplish anything I set my mind to. And when you're working with the students that I work with in Chicago, 87% free and reduced lunch, from an area of the city that really marathon runners don't look a lot like them, and probably a lot of the kids didn't even know that we had the marathon in our city. So just to get them to experience something, to reach out to donors, to get them to look the part, in nice running gear, and then to put in the work, the determination, the perseverance that is developed through training for months and months and going through some really grueling practice runs, and then to get to the race and complete that, it really just makes it all so worth it. So that idea of digging deep, that you could accomplish anything, but not just personally, but with a group, right? And maybe a group that you never thought would be able to accomplish such a goal, it gives you all the confidence in the world and just shows you how much sweeter things are when you do it as a group as opposed to an individual.
So many powerful lessons to take away and so many powerful experiences to give kids that, I was thinking what you said about service learning hours and how those are kind of an institutional structure that we put in place in the hopes that, maybe some of our students will get this kind of experience, but you're pulling them right into a very specific and challenging group experience that, that's really forcing them to dig deep and to really stretch themselves. And, see themselves in a whole different way.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you this, if you go through a marathon, especially, I don't care if you're 16 or 66, you're going to find out what you're truly made of. And just to go through that experience one time, even if you don't see it through completion, you learn a lot about yourself. I think it's a very valuable process.
Absolutely. Well, and I think the other thing that stands out to me about what you've written about the marathon and taking students through that process is the connection to a larger purpose. And in schools, I think we get bogged down in what we have to do. There are always operational things, and mm-hmm. even the changes that we're making, what we'd consider more leadership elements of the work are often mandated, and they don't feel like you know, we're making a huge difference in the world, but to connect the challenge to not only the individual student, but to some larger difference in the world, I think is so powerful to help students really see how they can have an impact beyond themselves. And I think the same is true for the work we do as leaders working with adults to help adults see their work, not just as, you know, doing what needs to be done, but as truly making a difference and making the world more the kind of place we want it to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you. And to see kids, you know, how they rally around, you got, like I said, 87% that qualify for free or reduced lunch. So my students are facing significant challenges. But to see how generous that they are through, you know, taking their own allowance or, you know, whatever side hustle they have and donating some of their own personal funds. I don't know about you, but at that age, I was extremely selfish. I'm still a pretty selfish guy, but, you know, at the end of the day, we've raised over $25,000, you know, the past 2 years, wow. And that's all for clean water. So the kids get so much satisfaction knowing that they made a bigger difference in the world.
That's fabulous. Well, there's so much more on your website that we could talk about, and you've got different audio and PDF resources. Tell people about something they can get by going to betterleadersbetterschools.com.
Yeah, to tell you the truth, I worked on something specific to your audience.
Hey.
So if they text the word principal, P-R-I-N-C-I-P-A-L, to 33444, so that's principal to 33444, I came up with the 15 challenging questions guaranteed to unlock your leadership potential today. That's a simple PDF. That's only for your audience. There's also other freebies on the website that anybody can get. That would be the 15 phrases of effective school leaders. And just those are different sayings that have really served me well in my different leadership roles over the years. There's also an ebook that I wrote called The Blueprint for School Success. Much, you know, based off the work I've done at different schools. And really, I'd like to give a shout out to my current principal at my school, DeAndre Weaver, who sort of saw all these disparate ideas and combined them into something really special that worked for us at Brooks College Prep.
Fabulous. And I have to say, I'm impressed with the level of writing and the amount of work that you're putting out there at Better Leaders, Better Schools, while being a practicing school administrator in Chicago Public Schools. So my hat goes off to you, and really enjoy keeping up with everything you're doing.
I was an English major, so if I couldn't make this happen, we'd be in trouble.
Well, Daniel, thank you so much for joining us for Principal Center Radio. Again, the website is betterleadersbetterschools.com. And if people want to follow you on Twitter, where can they find you on Twitter?
Yeah, that's @_betterschools.
Fabulous. We'll link that up in the show notes, and you can find all of our interviews at principalcenter.com. Daniel, thanks again.
Absolutely, Justin. I just really appreciate the opportunity and love everything you're doing.
And now, Justin Bader on high-performance instructional leadership.
So, high-performance instructional leaders, what did you take away from my conversation with Daniel Bauer? One thing that really stands out to me is the sheer number of places we can look for lessons on leadership. And there's certainly no shortage of ideas within the education profession, within the world of school administration. But as leaders, I think it's also our job to look outside the walls of the school and look beyond what just other schools are doing, beyond what our neighbors are doing, and really seek out the best of the best from across industries. So I want to encourage you to check out Daniel's website at betterleadersbetterschools.com, because he is a master of that search, and he can kind of serve as your guide along the way to finding some of those places to look for those key leadership insights. And I also want to encourage you to check out some of his PDFs and his summary documents, where he's basically giving you faster access to the reading that he's doing, and a great shortcut to finding some of those terrific resources. So that's betterleadersbetterschools.com. Another resource I want to recommend is the Marshall Memo. And Kim Marshall, who's the author of the fabulous book Rethinking Teacher Supervision and Evaluation, also produces a weekly newsletter where he reads, I think it's about 64 publications, journals, newspapers, all sorts of different publications relevant to school leaders, and sends out a 8 to 10 page summary every week. So you can get dozens of articles every month, summarized weekly for you in a concise format. And you can find that at marshallmemo.com. And you can actually get a free subscription to the Marshall Memo by being part of the High Performance Instructional Leadership Network. The network is our flagship program for school leaders focused on building capacity for instructional leadership in your school, starting with you as the administrator, helping you transform your productivity, build capacity within your organization, and multiply your impact on student learning. More information on the network is at principalcenter.com/leadership.
Thanks for listening to Principal Center Radio. For more great episodes, subscribe on our website at principalcenter.com/radio.